Right now, as we do each and every week during this time slot, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Pat, Dateline Milwaukee. The organization that handles the annual PGA Tour stop in Milwaukee is dissolving after failing to find a sponsor, leaving the future of this professional golf tournament on shaky ground. Move virtually guarantees the tour will not return to Milwaukee next year. And this, of course, is not the first defection for the PGA Tour. PGA Tour now down at least four events, possibly five for 2010, 47 events this year in 2009, and that number will surely be less next season. The tournament was originally known as the Greater Milwaukee Open, and it's been in operation since 1968. Among its notable moments was Tiger Woods' professional debut in 1996. The tournament's popularity had been in decline as of late, especially after it was recently moved to a date opposite the British Open. Pat, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there are two schools of thought here, Russ. For the Milwaukee Open standpoint, obviously this is a crushing blow to lose their sponsorship. The economic impact that this tournament has on that city, the volunteers that come out for it, the community that gets involved with it, and the people that are hired to help out with this tournament, from that standpoint, in an area of the country that desperately needs to be able to fill some jobs and have some tourism and those types of things come to that town, it's really a shame. But from a golf standpoint, and with that sensitivity there, but from a golf standpoint, Russ, this is absolutely needed. I mean, you need to have some attrition in some of these tournaments, and I have harped on it all along that regular PGA Tour stops that are going against majors is absolutely ridiculous. I think the majors need to stand out on their own. Again, I understand that not everybody qualifies for the majors and they need somewhere to play, but I just think on the week of the major, there should be nothing else going on in the world of golf except that major. From those two standpoints, believe me, I am sensitive to the fact that this is costing people jobs and it's costing that community a lot of economic impact, and that is important. But from an overall golf standpoint, this is unfortunately the type of thing that needs to happen for golf to get better, in my opinion.
I would take that sentiment one step further, Pat, and I say that the PGA Tour should not have concurrent events running opposite of majors as well as World Golf Championships. We've got PGA Tour events, the weekend of Doral CA Championship. There's another concurrent event in Puerto Rico, for God's sakes. I mean, stop with that as well. So, the ideal number next season, perhaps maybe it's around 40. We're not sure exactly. PGA Tour Chief of Operations Rick George said that the tournament's organizers are doing the right thing by shutting things down right now until they find, possibly if they indeed do find a sponsor. U.S. Bank has pulled out. George says, until they find a sponsor, you're spending money that you don't have, and that's never a good idea. A pair of players on the PGA Tour with strong Wisconsin ties, Jerry Kelly and Steve Stricker, have pledged their support to keeping the PGA Tour alive in the area and finding a title sponsor, but their plan has not come to fruition yet. Pat, this weekend in the PGA Tour, we're in Vegas for a fall series event that has so little buzz. It's just ridiculous. College football, NFL football today, playoff baseball in full swing. The PGA Tour doesn't need to be playing this late in the season. Ideally, the strong fall series events, whether it's, this Vegas event or perhaps the Turning Stone event in upstate New York, they might move to somewhere in the regular season PGA Tour schedule. We'd have a schedule from February to maybe September of 40 some odd events, and then, no golf from October through January.
And this is one of the biggest arguments I have with the NFL about expanding the schedule to 17 or 18 games. You are losing the specialness of pro football by extending the Super Bowl into February, where it's becoming not in the same category yet, but you don't want it to become pro hockey or pro basketball or pro baseball, all of which all seasons are way, way too long, and they lose that special defined moment. When it's fall, that means football. It's not football when you get into early spring and you go to 18 games and you're risking doing that. With golf, it's the exact same thing. When you get into spring, Russ, that, specifically in the Masters, that's when I'm like, all right, now golf is starting. This is great. After the PGA, it's over. It's enough. Football's starting. Golf season basically ends, even though you can play well into the fall and it's a lot of fun. But golf is over when summer is over, which baseball should be. They should be playing baseball in 35-degree weather up at Yankee Stadium. They need to figure out a way to, you know, to shorten baseball. They're not going to do it because of the money and TV. But golf, there is a chance here to rework the schedule a little bit to, again, make it a defined season and have it be special. What they could do, Russ, I am sure they will not do this, is they could have some kind of a minor league type, not the nationwide. I'm talking about actual PGA Tour events, but guys would be excluded that have a certain amount of career earnings or whatever that they couldn't play in these things. You wouldn't have a Chad Campbell playing in something like this or Davis Love last year playing at Disney. It should be for guys who are in their first couple of years of playing that you might get a chance to see, you know, a superstar in the making get a chance to play against a field that he has a chance to win and get that, you know, that sense going. But to have guys that, you know, are past major champions and playing in these types of events, I just think it's bizarre and it's it dilutes the product. And that's what you don't want to have.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and we are in the midst of our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, handful of hot topics in the world of golf brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number two, one of the most famous holes in golf is being lengthened in time for next year's Open Championship at St. Andrews, the 17th hole at the Old Course, called the Road Hole, but just as well known for its treacherous bunker besides the green, has played to the same 465 yards for over 100 years. But the Royal & Ancient announced on Friday that it will add 25 yards to this par 4, increasing its distance to 490 yards by building a new tee box across a railway line on what is now the practice range. No course, Pat, evidently, is in this new age of bomb and gouge golf immune to the lengthening, not even storied St. Andrews.
Say it ain't so, Russ. 100 years that this hole has been this length, and these guys feel like they need to change it for technology. Why? If you still get caught in that trap on the left-hand side, most guys are going to make 5, 6, 7 to getting out of that thing. The hole is not unique because of its length. It's unique because of that trap, and that trap is not going to change. I think this is really shocking on the part of the R&A because these guys, more than anybody, even more so than the USGA, I think have an understanding of tradition and history. And for them to sort of make the deference to, you know, technology at this stage, I just don't understand it, Russ. I don't think there was anything wrong with this hole. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You are tinkering with history here in that, you know, ages and ages of players have come through playing this hole at a certain length and it made certain scores, and now you're going to jack it up to a different length and basically throw all that out. Listen, every venue in America has been bastardized by technology. Oakmont, Marion, they're going to do it too. I just think at some point, hey, if you're going to risk having scores being shot low, then that's what you're going to do. But you can do things with the rough and with the green speeds to counteract distance. And I really wish they would do things like that rather than, you know, just artificially add 25 yards to a hole that's been around for 300-400 years. However long this hole's been around.
A long time. I'll get to the actual dates in a second here.
And you've now made the decision in 2009 that, okay, now it's time that we have to screw around with this hole. I think it's an abomination.
Among the hole's other unique features is the road that sits just behind the green and is in play and fronts a stone wall. And there's that cavernous greenside bunker with a green that slopes towards it. The R&A, in its announcement, noted that former Open champion Henry Cotton had suggested as far back as 1964 that the hole should indeed be lengthened with a new tee belt. Peter Dawson, the director of the R&A, said, quote, "The 17th was played at the same yardage in 1900 as it was in 2005, and this fueled our belief that the formidable challenge of this iconic hole should be returned for the Open Championship. Over the years, we have seen the threat from the road behind the green and, to a lesser extent, the road bunker diminished as players have been able to hit shorter irons in for their approach shots, allowing them to avoid these hazards more easily. Nobody is quite sure how any of the holes were really intended to be played. The Old Course dates back to the 1500s, and for a time it had only 12 holes, 10 of which were played both out and in, making for a total of 22 holes. The course is known for its double greens, and it was the 1860s that old Tom Morris, a four-time British Open champion and longtime greenskeeper, had the first and 17th greens separated, which produced the current 18-hole layout.
I think it's just ridiculous, Russ. You're telling me that scores have come down so remarkably in 100 years that they feel like they need to screw around with this hole that is probably, in my opinion, maybe the most well-known hole in the world. I mean, you can make that argument that it's one of the most well-known holes in the world, and they're going to screw around with it for some feeling of making it harder again. I think it's plenty hard enough. You come to the 17th hole in a major with a tournament on the line and everything going through your veins, and you got that bunker on the left and you got to hit it over
the hotel.
The right. You're telling me that ain't nerve-wracking enough?
I was just going to say, this tee shot now might become the hardest tee shot in golf. It was already a semi-blind tee shot where you have to, you know, skirt the hotel on the right. You got to put your shot out to the left and, you know, hit a cut if you're a right-handed player, and hit a draw if you're a left-handed player. And now moving the tee back 25 yards, it's going to be a completely blind shot, probably directly over that hotel, because they're going to move the tee farther back to the right. So I'm curious to see some of the – we're going to see some eights and some nines and maybe even some tens next year for the British Open. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you as always by PGA National Resort and Spa. Third and final topic this week, Pat, the players have been announced for the 18th annual ADT Golf Skills Challenge, which will introduce another format in 2009, adding the reverse scramble. Four teams of two men, Kenny Perry and JB Holmes, Brant Snedeker and Boo Weekly, Nick Price and Freddie Funk, and Hunter Mahan and Nick Watney will square off next Monday, October 26th at the Breakers in Palm Beach for its 18th renewal of the PGA Tour's Challenge Season event. It will be telecast on NBC Saturday, December 26th and Sunday, December 27th as the only golf on network TV that final weekend of the year. Pat, will you be tuning in for this one?
Oh, my God, Russ. They've done this 18 times? I honest to God didn't even know this was going on, and they've done it 18 times. So, hey, I'm all for
it. You didn't know the ADT Skills Challenge was going on?
You've never tuned into it? I must confess. Maybe I have. It just doesn't have the, you know, must-see TV with me that some of these other golf events do. But, hey, I love the Breakers. Anything that can happen over there that's going to help them, I'm fine with. But Russ, if I'm channel surfing and I happen to, you know, hit on it for 5 minutes, I may watch it. But this is another hit and giggle event that I think just diminishes golf rather than exalts it. And I think it's a problem. They really need to look at this type of thing, I think.
It's silly season golf. That's a lot different than PGA Tour events running concurrent with majors. I don't have a problem with the silly season golf. It's made for fun. It's entertainment in the wintertime. And as for me, I'm a golf geek. I love anything and everything that is golf, so I will be tuning in, but I'm sure that many others probably won't. And that is another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.